Blog Talk Radio.
I'll bring all a story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save us like me. And I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin that won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever he sought me. And he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He belongs to me, to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And I heard about a mansion he is built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of earth beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing a bell song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever he sought me. And he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He belongs to me, to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And I heard about his healing, all the cleansing by revealing. I removed the lame to walk again and cause the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. I've been obeyed, blessed commands and gained the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever he sought me. And he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever he sought me. And he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, I knew him, and all my love is due him. He belongs to me, to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. Again, I say good evening to you. This is Pastor Mike Petey with the Van Brothel Church of Christ. Just excited to be with you today. God's an awesome God, and in spite of the challenges that we have to go through in this human experience, God is a blessing God, and well, he just keeps on blessing me. I don't know about you, but the fact that you are awake today, the fact that you are on today, the fact that we are connecting today in fellowship and in worship, lets me know that God has blessed you as well. We just want to say a special prayer for all those that are sick and afflicted, those that are looked at as second-class citizens, and I want to give a shout-out to one of my old roommates, Aaron Turner. He lost his sister, and we were roommates for years, a great drummer, great musician, great songwriter, lives down in the Atlanta area, and I wasn't able to make the service yesterday, but just want him to know that he's been in my prayers, and that family has been on my heart. So I just want you to continue to be with them, strengthen them, and bless them in the ways that they stand in need of, and others that are going through at this time. We just want you to continue to pray for them. We must pray for one another, lift up one another in holy prayer. We just want to say hello to Sleek Shady. I see you out there, and Andy Balligan. See my mother down there, and Tracy Motes and others. See my wife on, and others that are viewing in. If you get a chance to share this video, I appreciate you doing that. We'll sing a few songs. And as you know, it's at 6 o'clock, and we're also our radio show, Blog Talk Radio, Fighting an Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ. So if you want to call in to talk on that line, you can call in at 619-924-0767, 619-924-0767. Again, 619-924-0767. We're broadcasting right now in Canada as well as Norway and the continental United States. I see you there, Doc. God bless you. Glad to have you with us today. Glad to see that things are going well. Let's sing a few more songs, and then we will have our invocation. If you have any prayer requests, you can type them in. And if not, then we will have our general invocation, and then we will go straight into communion. Just a closer walk with thee. I am a weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. And I'll be satisfied and learn as I walk, dear Lord, close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, this my plea. Daily let it ever be. Just a closer walk with thee. Through this world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, this my plea. Daily let it ever be. Just a closer walk with thee. When my feeble life is over, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, this my plea. Daily let it ever be. Just a closer walk with thee. Just a closer to walk with thee. Grant to Jesus this my plea. Daily let it ever be. Just a closer, a closer walk with thee. Amen. Living on the everlasting arms, then we will have a word of prayer. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. And what a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Where we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior, we are safe and secure from all alarm. Where we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior, we are leaning on the everlasting. And oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. And oh, how right the path goes from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. We're leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are safe and secure from all alarms. We're leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are leaning on the everlasting arms. And what have I to do? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. You see, I have blessed peace with my Lord so dearly, leaning on the everlasting arms. Though we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior, we are safe and secure from all alarms. When we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior, we are leaning on the everlasting arms. When we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior, we are safe and secure from all alarms. Oh, we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen, Floyd, I see you. All right, we'll say one more. Blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. And then we will have our invocation. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of that. Born of His Spirit. Spirit and washed in His blood. For this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the long. And this is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, vision, revelation, now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy and whispers of love. For this is my story, this is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. For this is my story, this is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all that is. Yes, I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above. I'm filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. For this is my story, this is my song, I'm praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. For this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. That was my great grandmother's song, one of her favorites, and it's one of mine as well, because we all have a story. We all need a song. Music, as God knows, can change the heart of man. Music is a universal language that we all come together. We don't worry about gender. We don't worry about color, race, background. It's where we all can come together in one accord and harmonize, melodiously sing praises unto God. That's why we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in our hearts unto the Lord. God wants your heart. Why are you pointing up here, preacher, when my heart's down here? I'm not talking about this physical pump that technology today sophistication today, God has allowed science today to study so much that when you have heart problems, they can put a stent in, they can open it up and clean around it, they can remove it completely, put a pig heart in, they can close the valve off and, you know, do there's a lot of stuff that they can do. But I'm talking about where the blood flows through, and that's where life is in the blood. But what I'm talking about is your spiritual heart and the temporal lobes of your brain, where you make your decisions, where the very intent before the action goes down, that's where God wants to reside. And if God is in the cockpit of your heart and he is driving with steering column, steering wheel, joystick, or rudder in his hand, then there's no way you can crash because God is victorious. The devil cannot defeat you when God is ready. So let us remain on God's side. And if you've stepped off, if you find that there's a distance between you and the Lord, I hasten to tell you that it wasn't God that moved, it was you. And so what you need to do is to repent, to get back right with God, and to come in close relationship, intimacy with the Lord. Not close proximity, but intimate relationship with God. God is a jealous God, and he's not a part-time lover. Let us have our invocation. Bow with me at this time as we open in a word of prayer. Father God, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father, we come to you today the best we know how, thanking you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us from the beginning of life up until this present moment. Father, I even want to thank you for those blessings that you already have slated for myself and others. Individual blessings, peculiar, specific blessings for all of us that is for us and not for anyone else. Help us, Father, to remove the clog in our drain, which is sin. Help us to remove the pride in our life. Help us to remove the disobedience that takes over our minds sometimes and comes into a state of action where we end up acting that out, so that we know that obedience is better than sacrifice, so we can please. Help us to follow the protocol that you've given us in the scripture, where you are the ultimate sovereign God, and the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Wife is the head of the children. Parents, we rule the children. And we keep everything in its protocol order. You will be pleased. And we will be able to be blessed in many ways. Father, we come to you in regards to those that are ill, those that are sick. Thank you for those that are recovering. I thank you for my health. Father, as the doctor and the nurses talk about quick and remarkable recovery in a short clip, doctor asked me last week, did you pray? I said, yes, I prayed. And he says, I'm praying for you too, and that's why you're healed. So it's just great to have a doctor, Father, that has his eyes centered and understands the power is not in him, but that the power is from you, and they are just vessels being utilized for the physical body, ministers for the physical body. And so I'm just so thankful for my mother and the relationship that we have, thankful for my wife, thankful for my daughters, thankful for my family. Ask you, Father, to continue to bless them and keep them in the way they stand in need of. This is Black History Month throughout the world, and I'm asking you, Father, to continue to bless all those that are learning a little bit more of what African Americans have contributed, have founded, and have held together. So it doesn't look as if we have just been along for the journey, but that it shows that we have carried the load. So, Father, I ask you to continue to bless those that are studying. Bless the children for a lot of things they don't study in school. Give them opportunity to see and to be able to find out the truth in various matters. Let us continue to have hope in Jesus and allow Christ to continue to grow us in the ways that we know that he so readily wants to move us. We're just so thankful today, Father. So thankful today. And as we go into the Word, we ask you to continue to bless us and keep us and allow the golden nutrients and the golden nuggets in the Word to continue to feed us, to feed our very starved soul. Father, we thank you and we love you. And as we get ready to prepare for communion, those of you that are in Radio Land and on Facebook Live, it is the intent and expectation that you have your communion prepared, and that we will be able to commune together with the Lord on the first day of the week as we do. That he will turn grape juice and cracker into body and blood in his own miraculous transformation. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Let us collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. Far here, far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best in a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross to my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, thank you, Ernest, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. The dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it on the Calvary. So I'll cherish the rugged cross to my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Last verse. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood, so divine. A wondrous beauty I see. For it was on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. Yes, so I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a cross.
Amen. We find in Acts 27 that it was upon the first day of the week that the disciples came together to break bread. Paul continued teaching in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, beginning in verse 23. He picked up this pen and said, I received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night of which he was betrayed, he took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup. And after he supped, saying of this cup, it is the New Testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. But let a man examine himself. For he that eateth the bread and drinketh the cup unworthily, it bringeth damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many were sick and weakly among them, and many did sleep. Father God, I thank you for this bread, which is your broken body. And we thank you again for this cup, which is your shedded blood. And we pray we take it with clean hands and a pure heart, as we look to Jesus as author and finisher of our faith. All these blessings we ask in Jesus, holy and divine name. Let us collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. You may now eat of the bread and the wine. I know it was the blood, oh yes, and I know it was the blood, oh yes, and I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Oh, and I know it was the blood, oh yes, and I know it was the blood, oh yes, and I know it was the blood for me. Thank you, Jesus. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. History is so important. For if you don't know where you've come from, you're going to have a difficult time knowing where you're going. I want to thank Brother Ernest Lemon, my dear brother in Christ, compadre, prognosticator of the scripture, and just downright good friend. he gave us a little tidbit today during Black History Month, and he, those of you that are on, you could see, he said the first century church located in Antioch had brethren of ethnicity leading that ministry. So we can feel rest assured that ethnicity has been around a long time. And even the church in Antioch had brethren there. We are in the second chapter of the book of Acts. We've taken a while to get there, but it's been a great journey, seeing not only Jesus' 3 to 3.5 years, not only witnesses in his 30 years of life, not only seeing the turmoil he went through and his, not only seeing his baptism, but his death on Golgotha Hill, being hung on a tree between two thieves, as if he was a criminal, a man we never sinned, took our place in substitutionary royalty and took on the sin of the world. Why didn't you say sins, preacher? Because all the sin, past, present, and future, that mankind could ever deal with, was bound up or put on the shoulders or on the head of Jesus, on the body of Jesus, as one big sin. And this one time exhibit of love that he went through in atonement, so that you and I may have a right to the tree of life, puts us in intimate relationship with God and allows us to communicate with the Father. There is no communicating with the Father around Jesus, because all power in heaven and in earth has been given unto him. And there will be a time where Jesus, after he comes on in the rapture of 1 Thessalonians 4:13-20, rides in on the white horse to take his children back home. Separation will be done. He will never set foot here on earth again, but we will meet him in the air. So he will present the church, the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, the church that belongs to Christ, the church of Christ, back to the Father in exemplary fashion. So we're privileged today to have the Holy Bible at our disposal. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, meaning that it is God-breathed. It's God's wind. And if you just experienced today, as I have, and my wife and her as well, that there is the just sitting in our own apartment there, you could hear the wind whipping 50 and 60 miles an hour. You can hear it moving outside from the inside in a protective area, so to speak. You don't know which way the wind is coming, but sometimes you can see based off the debris which way it's blowing. And so people many times analyze, or Satan analyzes and studies the debris in your life that you've agreed or you went along to. Not the obstacles that have been placed there, the challenges there, but the things that you have assigned to or gravitated to. And Satan wants to continue to pull you away from God rather than allow you to hurdle these mountains, go around them, or knock them down. So what privilege to see here in the scriptures, even today, what God has given us. The first chapter of Acts, everything in it was preparatory to the great outburst of the Spirit of God. We see that over 40 days in post-resurrection, Jesus being resurrected from the grave, over 40 days, the apostles listened to the teachings of Jesus. They received Christ's commission to be his witnesses, Jehovah's witnesses, true witnesses throughout the world. This worldwide now. And there has been given the promise by Jesus that, excuse me, that the Holy Spirit would grant them empowerment for their leg of the mission at hand. So they listened to the teachings. They received his commission to be his witnesses. And they had been given a promise that they would receive power from on high by the Holy Spirit that would bring back to their remembrance and guide them through their mission. And it's so important because with the Lord's ascension, burning that cloud and going out of sight, the next instruction in here are two men in white apparel saying, what are you amazed about? I'm paraphrasing a little bit. What shocks you? That same Jesus, as he was taken up from you, will come again. Jesus had told them, don't leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise from on high. All they had to do in their interim period was to tarry, or was to wait and pray for the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit's promise. There was 11. There needed to be 12, because Judas of Iscariot, through prideful indication, would not repent and hung himself in the field of blood, committing suicide. And so it was prophesied in Psalms in the Old Testament that another would take his place. Isn't it interesting that God laid out the roadmap, wrote the script before the people came into play? And so all they have to do now is pray. The prayer was that God would send another apostle that would be qualified to fill Judas' spot, so there will be 12, the number for government under the Hebrew. And so Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, were the 11 chosen, and there were there was 120 in the upper room. But those were the chosen ones to be God's witnesses, all men. And so the qualification, as we learned last week, in order to be an apostle for Jesus Christ, was that you had to have two things going for you. You had to have witnessed the baptism of Jesus. You had been around from the beginning of the baptism of John until the day when Jesus was taken up. and you had to be a witness of the resurrection. And so out of the 120 that was in the upper room, barring 11, so out of the 109 that remained, including the women that were there, Jesus was to choose one. And the only two that qualified, because he did not choose any women in this regard, was Barsabbas, his name also called Joseph, who was also known as Justice, and Matthias. And so they prayed that God would make a distinction between these two qualified men, the only two out of the 109 that were there that would be considered for this apostleship. And when they prayed, God made the decision, and the lot fell on Matthias. And so Matthias was added to the 11, which brought the number back to 12, the number of government. So now we're ready for Pentecost, 50th. And it's interesting that Pentecost was a festive season. It landed between the Passover and the unleavened bread, Feast of Unleavened Bread. And between the two was Pentecost. The Bible says, when the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, had fully come or had arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like as a rushing, violent, mighty wind came from heaven and it filled the whole house where they were sitting or where they were staying. And tongues like flames of fire that were divided appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak different tongues or various tongues or different languages as the Spirit gave them utterance, or as the Spirit gave them ability for speech. And we're not going to get any further than that today, because I want us to dissect this and understand what really has taken place. What's been waited, what's been promised, and what's been waited upon has now came into existence. No more time for waiting. We see sounds. We hear sounds. We see the sight of something, but we see the speeches. All these things taking place at Pentecost. The sound was like a rushing mighty wind, sounding like a tornado, train coming from heaven. It fills them all where they're sitting. We see, if you take a flame of fire and you take a look at it and you see it, you see that it crackles and breaks into cloves. In the clover. And so there will be like cloven tongues and they appeared on the heads of each one of the witnesses. And then we also witness the fact that there is utterance, there is speaking of language that had never been studied. Remember, these Galilean men were not men of Judea, which were more studied and I don't want to say, some would say more scripted, but they were more educated. But the Galilean were fishermen. They were common people. And so here you have the common people that are now being brought to the forefront. And they're speaking in languages they had never studied. All of a sudden, because the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that mind-blowing? You had to give you a theme today would be the miracle that took place at Pentecost. We see the gift coming to the believers, that gift of the Holy Spirit, and then we see the manifestation of the gift that we'll begin talking about next week to the remainder of the Jewish crowd. But we're going to talk about the gifts coming on the believers, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was audible, it was visual, and it was outward. Look at the scripture. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, when Pentecost had finally arrived, they were all together in one place. Now, the question that the religious world has to take a look at is, who are the they? In the upper room, there were 120. Jesus had trained a multiplicity of disciples that heard his teaching. But who is the focus in this text? And if we have to take a scalpel and a physician's knife and carve it out, the they would be the 12. That Jesus had handpicked, the 11 plus Matthias, who he added to them, that is the focus of them. And so the they will be the them, not the 120. The 120 will be able to witness what the they, the 12, will be able to do through the Spirit of God. So when the day of Pentecost had fully come, the 12 apostles, Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Matthias, they were all together in one place. And now, it's time for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Suddenly, a sound like as a rushing mighty wind came from heaven. You know, they say today, if you hear, you got those people that go and follow tornadoes. Seems like one of the most craziest jobs that you should be running away from the tornado, but you get in your car, you drive to it. But they hear this whistle, they hear this sound. It sounds like a freight train coming. But this train is coming from heaven. Will you get aboard? Suddenly a sound like as a rushing mighty wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole place or the whole house where they were staying or where they were sitting. And then the Bible says in verse 3 that tongues, cloven tongues, like flames of fire that were divided, that appeared to them, and then they rested on each of them. This is their baptism in the Holy Spirit. Because verse 4 tells us, then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Who? The 12 were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the 12 began to speak in different languages or in different tongues as the Spirit gave them the ability to for speech. Now you would say, those that profess tongue speaking today would say, well, that's no different than what we do today. It is. Because these folks have never studied this language. And we're going to find out next week that they were speaking in languages that people understood, so that there was no gibberish or there was no unclarification, but that they were able to receive the information that was so important for their souls. Without receiving the proper information, there's no way that about 3,000 souls could be added to the same thing that the 12 was given, the 12 being baptized in the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to work miracles through them, and the miracle at this time being language spoken, that the rest of the about 3,000 will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, but they won't have the ability to speak and do as the apostles. Summer a little bit. So, tongues, cloven tongues, and a fire, symbolizing royalty to an extent. You ever seen some of the priestly hats back in the day? They're given that cloven tongue type of look, taken right here from the scripture. So we're going to find out that not only did they speak, but during that period of time, there were about 8 to 10 languages spoken. They were all gathered in Jerusalem, and we'll talk about this next week. And what these unlearned men of Galilee spoke intelligently to the Holy Spirit connected with the very dialect of the audience of who people they were listening to. So you have 12 people speaking somewhere 8 to 10 languages. And everybody understands. Whether they gravitated to what they heard, or they spoke and the Spirit made the transformation, as we take communion, bread and wine, and God does the transformation into body and blood. It's a God thing that makes it happen. And I'm here to profess that tongue speaking was given as a gift to the early church for a period of time until the church grew from its infancy. Once the church grew and came and went on to various locations. This toddler, these nine spiritual gifts that were given to the church were no longer necessary because we no longer see in part. We look through the spiritual eyes of the Bible. We will have what God wants us to have. In the second chapter, we're going to see Peter's sermon. As he talks about, he stands up and he talks about the prophecy of Joel. And he even talks about David. We're going to see around verse 36 where understanding is taking place and people will now wonder, see where they're at clearly and want to know if God just left them or is there something they can do to correct their situation to be in the good graces with God. And that's what this whole book is all about. Having your life in great, good relationship with God. If you're not trying to live a life that's pleasing to God, but you choose to play hopscotch with your soul, then I'm praying for you that you will get it together before it's eternally too late. For we serve a God that sits high and looks low and knows all the panoramic things that happen. We serve a God that sends us blessings every day. God shows, no matter what your situation is, if you're incarcerated or if you're not, he chose that you would see today and this day wouldn't be taken for granted. But my question to you is, have you given this day to the Lord as the Lord has given the day to you? And then not just today, if God sees fit to wake you tomorrow, will tomorrow belong to the Lord in your life? Or do you feel that Monday through Saturday is your days and God's only on Sunday? Every nanosecond that God allows us to have, we need to appreciate him even more. We need to thank him for what he does, for what he has planned for us and what he's already done. And we need to pray that we stay on the right track, pleasing God, being as God would have for us to be, so that when this earthly tabernacle is no more, we can go and rest assured to be with God in heaven forever. I don't know what your plan is, but that's my take on life. I thank God for what he's done. And even miraculously, over the last 3 months, he's restored my leg so that I can continue to do the work that I need to do, and I'm so thankful. He's given me the ability to lose weight and to get my health back into the pendulum it needs to be, when I didn't know it was out, so to speak, so that I can run the race he needs for me to run. It's all about God now. For God is the greatest giver that's ever been. If you're here today and you've fallen short, maybe you've thought some things or you have not really looked at some things, you have taken scripture for granted and maybe you have learned it listening to someone else and have not studied it for yourself. Might I hasten to encourage you to open up this great book called the Bible, 66 little books. And if 66 ain't enough, you become the 67th book of the Bible. God wants you to take the words off the pages of inspiration, eat them, feed them so that they come through your pores, come out your mind. You bleed them. And that you walk therein. If you need prayer, if you just want to say thank you, whatever your needs are, Jesus is coming to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly, for you shall find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says, what I've done all the heavy work. You think what you're going through is something, but I've done all the heavy work in your life. All you have to do now is just come to me meekly. And I'll make it possible to turn victims into victors, to take your trial and turn it into triumph, to take your test and make it a testimony. I'll see fit to make you more than a conqueror by gifting you the Holy Spirit so that you can do the Spirit can do through you, can't do for yourself. Amen? Amen. It's invitation time. It's reflection time. I want you to think about where you stand with God. Don't worry about no one else. Make sure that you are living a life that is pleasing and acceptable to God. Jesus rose with all power in his hand. In his hand, Jesus rose with all power in his hand. In his hand. For he died on Friday evening. And he rose early Sunday morning. Jesus rose with all power in his hand. In his hand. Well, they tell me that the angels came down from heaven. And he rolled that stone away. Well, they tell me that the angel came down from heaven, and he rolled that old stone away. And oh, they tell me that the angel came down from heaven, and he rolled that stone away. But Jesus rose with all power in his hand, in his hand. Jesus rose with all power in his hand, in his hand. My Jesus rose with all power in his hand. In his hand, for he died on Friday evening, and he rose on Sunday morning. Jesus rose with all power in his hand, in his hand. So thankful to God that he's restoring my voice and removing the fluid in my lungs and giving me deeper breath and also giving me deeper vitality. I love singing. I love a song on my heart. I just want to thank him for that. Let us go to God in prayer. Father God, thank you for who you are and what you do. Thank you for the word of God, which is a lamp to our feet, a light into our path. And we praise you today, ask you to continue to strengthen us and bless us in ways you know we stand in need. I come to you, those that are sick and afflicted, those that have thought about it being second-class citizens, those that have an inferiority complex, those, Father, that feel powerless, hopeless, and homeless. Let them know that their home can be with you, that their new family will be with you, that you will be the provider, protector, and you will be the greatest thing that's ever happened to them. Give us meekness, power under control. Father, we love you, we adore you. Correct us when we're wrong, build us up when we're weak, and us when we've been torn down. And all these blessings we ask in Jesus' holy and divine name. Let us collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. All right, I want you to do for others that they can't do for you, given Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I want to thank those of you that have tuned in from Blog Talk Radio in Canada, in Norway, continental United States. Those of you that have tuned in, share the video on Facebook Live. We love you. We're here at 6 o'clock on Friday, on Sundays. We'll be back on Thursdays fairly soon at 7 o'clock. I'll let you know that ahead of time, a week ahead of time, so you can make preparation for that. For those of you that have not given today or would like to give, this ministry is blessing you or helping you. There's many ways you can do that. Go to our website, www.golgothachurchofchrist.com. Under the More tab on the homepage, you will see donations, and you have two options. You can make a tithe offering, tithes and offerings, or you can make just a general love offering of a dollar or more. You can use our PayPal account to send in a donation. You can also use our Cash App account to do that. You may choose to mail in a donation. 3707 North Sawyer Avenue, Unit B, Chicago, Illinois, 60618. Or just give us a call. 312-933-4090. That's the church line. We'll call you back. Or we'll touch base with you then. And we'll find a way of receiving your seed offering. You can't be God-given. When you plant a seed, God will multiply that seed. If this ministry is helping you, we pray that you don't overlook it, but you help us to do more to reach others with the word of God. Have a great day. God bless you in the name of the Lord. Good night.